Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Bondfinger, the only James Bond commentary podcast which has acquired a taste for masquerading as Remington Steele. I'm Remington Steele.
I'm Remington Steele.
I'm the unexpected and, dare I say, unwanted love child of Sean Connery and Roger Moore, who was discovered at the perfume counter of Bloomies and elevated to be the star of this show.
And I'm Remington Steele.
Oh, James.
Get that scene too.
Also,
in a specimen jar.
What first?
Nathan, why are we doing this?
That's my question to you. Why the fuck are we doing this?
We stepped into the 80s, James.
Clever prime.
I think this is the first time we've done someone other than Roger or Sean, St. Sean.
Yeah. Or people who've been on with Roger and St. Sean.
Yeah. Because amazingly, some of the others actually had careers.
Well, Remington Steele.
Yeah.
We should also say to the casual new listener, please stay longer than a minute because we get really drunk and I promise you, you might even,
it doesn't matter.
No, actually, we don't care.
No, we're really drunk.
We're already really drunk.
We're really, really drunk. And believe me, you need to be to watch.
So
Remington Steele.
Those of you who are super alert.
Super alert. Hi, Colin.
Will have guessed that we're watching Remington Steele.
Has anyone ever watched this?
Well,
ever.
No, I watched the wrong episode.
In the history of the world.
Yeah, James thought it would have Tom Baker in it.
So very disappointed.
A very sad episode of Tom Baker as a creepy old peedy old thing. It was so sad. It was straight after Doctor Who. He's only in about three or four scenes. Anyway, you can go and watch
his haircut. It's straight after Doctor Who.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Well, we're not watching a Tom Baker episode. We're watching Series 1, Episode 1, which is called License to Steal.
Get it? Do you get it?
Yes.
Do you get it?
He could be Bond.
That's the flagship.
That's a surprise because most first episodes of American TV shows are called Pilot.
Pilot. Well, I think this is the Pilot. Is this the Pilot?
No. They're actually called Pilot.
Yes. That's true. Yeah.
Gentle persons, do we realize what this is, where it is, and why it is?
No.
Okay. So this is 1980.
No. It's first broadcast in the US on the 1st of October 1982.
Correct. But it was in pre-production for quite a while because the Mary Tyler Moore Studios were looking at a light, comedic, humorous sitcom thing for a while, and then a little show called Moonlighting, you might have heard of, came along, and they all went, what the, we should get out together and make something because we might make money. So it was very much about
hilarious. This is a response to Moonlighting.
Apparently.
I don't understand why you're bleeping yourself, darling.
You didn't have
the explicit tag.
I suspect because we're doing Brozzy, we might have a new listener. How awful and horrid we really are.
You don't mean, okay, hi, Pierce. Really loved you in the Eurovision movie.
Actually, we really didn't. Can I give you an update on Pierce for the Pierce fan what is listening? There's got to be one of you.
Hi, Cole.
So this very month, if you're wondering how he is, he's got a lovely little beard. He actually looks like Max von Sydow in Flash Gordon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say really never say right never again.
Yeah. Well,
to be or not to be. Sorry.
but with the Dimensions in Time First Doctor haircut that Tony Blair's rocking out. He's got his house in Malibu up for sale.
Oh,
and
yes.
it was passed in because the real estate agent said gone. He wants $100 million. It's got 5 bedrooms only and 14 bathrooms.
You see, I think I would only be a slightly worse James Bond than him. And if I was...
Without the case of the shits that is metaphorically evident in his architectural taste.
Oh, I could have an $80 million house. Do you know what I mean?
See, because you're more sedate.
Well, I am.
With 10 loos,
to be fair.
And full of crap because of your husband.
Yeah, it would be full of crap. I reckon we could.
You have lovely things in your house. You just have a lot of them.
A lot.
Which brings us back to whatever this show is trying to do.
So this makes a lot more sense as a kind of shitty knockoff of Moonlighting, which I have to say that I didn't watch at the time.
I watched them both because I was starting high school in 1980 and I loved both of them. I actually really loved this. It had great charm, insouciance. It was very slow, as gentle. It had a really nice electricity between the two of them, but that's because, like the Avengers, she plays the man, he plays the Bond girl.
So he sort of, yeah. I mean, this is Stephanie Zimbalist we're talking about.
Yeah.
And she is...
Hollywood royalty.
Yeah, she's incredibly charming. She's got a lot of charisma in this, I think. We'll get on to that, though.
I'm just thinking about her terrible outfits and the bland. Everything in the 80s was boom.
Awful.
I love how we're doing the whole podcast before pressing play.
Because you know what? There's a reason for that.
Well,
we're just putting it off.
We don't want to fucking watch it.
Don't watch it. Yeah. just listen to us wang on about not watching it for 50 minutes.
Squeeze your rubber duck.
Just treat this podcast like The Ring.
Shall we fucking just do it?
Don't watch it.
Go. So
bite the bullet.
Wait. Don't press go. Don't press go. You're ruining the thing. Oh, okay.
I'm ruining my podcast.
I've got a thing. Least imaginative.
They don't even know which episode it is because we haven't told them.
So it's series one. Series one, episode one, License to Steal.
Oh, I see. I blocked that out.
And this show ran for 5 seasons.
1,000 years.
And 94 episodes.
It got an Emmy, didn't it?
Oh, a bunch of them.
Heterosexuality.
Yeah, yeah. Something, yeah.
Flagrant heterosexuality.
Well, attempted heterosexuality.
And so, Doris Roberts.
So the next 94 episodes of Bondfinger will just be us watching our way through this.
I have paid 22 Earth dollars for this entire season. We are doing the bloody lot of them.
Yeah, no.
I would like to announce my retirement from Bondfinger at this point.
Okay.
Can I join you, friends?
All right,
no, James.
You're both vile bitches in string bikinis.
We'll make it home,
freezing on the Baltic coast
with blackjack.
Yes.
And moonlighting
on a in a budget Barbara Carrera one piece. You're all vile. We're going to next episode. We're going back to Joanna Lumley and Caroline Munro biffing each other as ex-Bond girls.
So that's what we want.
Stay tuned.
So. We are watching this on the iTunes thing.
Because we're drunk.
Because we're really
so
drunk.
You be.
And I spent a long time setting up your Apple TV.
Saint. We also can't get the Blu-ray player to work. So this is how
who's
competent
got
we are.
To steal on DVD. And if you do and you're an American listener, we love you and thank you.
Yes.
And if you're a nice person,
no, thank you for giving Piers work because he is terrible. And it's
actually, you know what, though?
I've seen Mamma Mia.
I need to, thank you for bringing that up. Does he have charm?
No.
Let's find out.
Well, let's find out. All right. So the code word, because I've put as much effort into choosing the code word as the makers of this show have into making this show.
Is it production team?
No, it's imposter. So the next time I say that word, see what I mean. The next time I say that word, I want you to press play on your 1920s Apple TV.
We've had
like
issues
the one we have here.
Yeah.
So here it is, Imposter. And we're off. And so, this is the reprise from a thing we haven't seen yet.
It's very confusing.
It's the pre-prise.
The pre-prise. Thank you very much, James. We need that word.
How can you have a pre-prise? Oh, this is one American
Space TV 1999
did.
Does
no,
that.
No, that's the Fred Freeloader.
Yeah.
But actually, Gerry Anderson started it with Thunderbirds.
True.
He did in 1964-5.
Oh, something has gone wrong with the camera.
No, this is what it actually looks like.
Oh, okay.
It just looks like the DVD is jiggering. Yeah.
And that's
I invented him, and like all karma, it's come back to bite my ass. Hey,
B.
Look,
Arthur
it's B.
there.
Arthur.
Yeah.
I do wonder on the initial broadcast if they had this monologue because it gives the whole episode away. It's actually far more interesting.
I remember
when
this
you find
being
out
in every
episode. Okay, fair enough.
But then I was a tiny person.
They may not have done it in the pilot, though.
I think they did. I think they haven't bothered re-editing.
These are all pictures from all the way through the season. Like this thing's not.
Well,
even,
it's like the new
episode.
Avengers. You cut from the first. Isn't she? Don't we love hair?
Yes,
she is beautiful,
hair's lovely,
and fabulous.
She's
I think
the daughter of God's sake.
Brian Zimbalist.
Ephraim Zimbalist and then his son Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. were great stalwarts of actually American TV of the 50s and 60s. So they're in really big shoes.
Can I just make the point that they did spell license with an S, and so that's what we'll be calling this episode.
Good.
No, that's the American spelling. And
it's all in microgrammar for the font aficionados at home, although it's actually a typeface.
It's the Star Trek font. From the Red Alert.
Really? It's the UFO font.
Not the typeface that they used in the Moavis.
In the movies.
Yes. Like for Red Alert.
How drunk are you children at home? Because you're bloody going to need to.
Yeah, I'm too drunk.
Although nice cars, it actually just feels like the intro of every $6 million man episode, but without the shorts.
But I think there's a direct line.
Bum. He really does look like the other one from Wham that no one remembers.
Because that's what passed right for hot.
Can we talk about Pierce's blow wave?
Well, I just think it's wonderful that if we ever get the Lego Movie 3, he won't look out of place because he looks like a Lego man in that hair.
He does, doesn't he?
You could clip it off.
Yeah.
And he quite often did.
This is actually really well written.
He has Lego fringe.
He does. I'm right here. But they all do. It's the 80s. You make a most enchanting. Look, doesn't he have great charm? And he also has exactly that woman's hair.
Thank you. And a fabulous teeth for a Welsh person. Yeah. No, he's not Welsh.
He's Irish. He's Irish. You're thinking Dalton.
I'm wishing this was Timothy Dalton.
Gogogogh.
Oh, now someone's doing the accent in this scene.
How are you?
Yeah, we have someone who thinks he's Arthur Daly. On the right here.
There is no other colour but beige. It's 1982. So, yeah, this is Mary Tyler Moore script doctored this herself.
With a crayon?
Well, there's also the filthiest and funniest line in pretty much all of television history coming up midway through this story. And that's why I bought the season, because I thought I need to see it. Anyway, it's a bit rude. But this also feels a bit like a Douglas Adams script without the jokes. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Or the wit.
Well, it's just that there's a lot of convolutions and it feels, it's got the hyperbolic uncertainty of a Stanislaw Lem short story. If I'm getting a bit high, but the way that it plays around with narrative, and that you've got, it's all a pun on the great films of Humphrey Bogart, and there's a lot of Bogart references. She's even wearing Sam's
hat. I think there's a lot of fun to be had. Well, a tiny, small amount of fun to be had in the various different people who think people are Remington Steele and who don't.
One of whom was Barbara Broccoli. Do you know she saw this and thought, I shall have him.
And did that ever happen?
Yeah, she did in the end. She cast him. She was chasing him. She was chasing him by season 3.
And said, Roger's looking a bit mouldy, what do you think?
And he said, I can't possibly, trying to play it hard. Pierce, look, let's be honest, Pierce, if you're listening, you were always in it for the cash.
But
he held back because he was pushing for more money. And then, of course, we know what happened after that.
So what happened was that they made a fifth season of Remington Steele that was like 2 minutes long. it's got like 5 episodes or something
Bought it. We're doing that, Nor.
It's really short. It's only like 5 episodes last season.
It's like the last season of Danger Man, yeah.
It was like an option on his contract. Or something, like they wanted to screw him.
It's a weird thing, but they did get syndication with this quite early, and they got it on the back of Mary Tyler Moore's production company. She had St. Elsewhere at the same time, which was the most successful hospital soap drama comedy at the time. St. Elsewhere was huge. Does anyone remember it?
Yeah, I remember it being huge, but I don't think I ever watched it.
Wasn't it that he had an option for a fifth season, but they cancelled the show. And then he was cast as Bond.
Rotten. Yes.
And they renewed the show and he was dropped as Bond and they picked up Dalton. Then eventually the show was cancelled.
That was
again.
All legal stuff. Yeah. That was legal.
And then that's why when they had the issues with the third Dalton film, eventually they got him because by that point
this is
the show
true.
Had been
here's Miss
decisively
Fox.
Cancelled.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying here's Miss Fox and Murphy. Blink and you'll miss them for the next season. But they're kind of you know, the second bananas. So I think actually are more charming and have a little more chemistry than the leads.
They're very aptly named Miss Fox.
Miss Fox is fabulous. I love
she's
her.
She's gorgeous, isn't she?
She's almost
and
Foxy
Murphy's
as
really cute too. I don't know why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it work, boys?
It's shit.
Why?
I think it doesn't work because Murphy only develops this jealous streak
no penis.
After Remington turns up. Like, there's no chemistry between him. Is it going down, dear? There's no chemistry between him and Laura before that, and then he turns into this jealous fool when we're meant to believe that they're both incredibly capable professionals. And I think that's where, but I suppose that
that outfit
transferring masculine and feminine things, you know, usually the woman would be unreliable and emotional, but here it's the man.
Whereas we have Pierce Brosnan dressed as late career Catherine Hepburn in a safari suit from the African Queen,
and
who I will always think of him as
It took me ages to figure out he's meant to be doing a South African accent in this scene.
You're
because
kidding
he's
me.
Only doing it in one verb in 10.
I thought he was Australian.
I just thought he was struggling. I thought he was like he was 14, Irish.
14 bathrooms.
Okay. Really?
That's
I think that's on the strength of the Speedo scene in Mrs. Doubtfire, to be honest.
I was thinking of that this week.
Yeah, it's I think about it from time to time.
As a kid, it doesn't appear to you that Sally. It doesn't occur to you that Sally Field dating Timothy Dalton. Not Timothy Dalton.
Oh, same
I've broken you.
I'm sorry. Can we cut that and I'll start again?
I've broken you, Brendan.
Sally Field dating Pierce Brosnan. You don't think, oh, that's a bit odd as a kid. But looking back at it as an adult, it's like, I can't decide who's punching above their weight more, really.
Oh, Brosnan. So harsh. Sally Field is so much better. She's like 15, whatever his name is.
What? But if we have a, you know what he has in Insouciance? He has vulnerability. He's playing the lad. He's playing the gal. There's a gentleness to Brosnan because he knows he's a little bit under his weight here.
Yeah.
And I think I find that very charming.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, and you get that in Bond as well. And it's only
except when he's got two, like, fucking huge machine guns.
But
that was Madonna's biceps. It's just difficult.
That's the reason Die Another Day doesn't work, because it gets rid of that vulnerability. Because in each of the first three films, you know, Natalia calls him out on it. And then, you know, he's got the vulnerability with Terry Hatcher and he's got the vulnerability again.
And she makes it work.
Yeah. Cousin Michelle.
Cousin Michelle, but also.
Have you noticed we're also already talking about other things?
Sophie Marceau in the third. Is it Sophie Marceau in the third?
Yeah. Those films she's have great with supporting casts.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
Beautiful women, just the most spectacular Bond girls
here we
ever.
Go. It's Gareth Hunt and Jonah Lumley from the new Avengers opening titles.
Oh, look at
his pain face.
You've pulled my Windsor knot tight.
That's exactly what killed Michael Hutchence in that hotel room.
Oh, God.
It's the same hotel room.
You're Kylie Minogue all the time.
With a mustache.
Sorry, she's got one now.
That's Will
Baker. She has got one. She's my age. She doesn't.
Yeah. As much as we make fun of Pierce, I'm actually glad he's entered the stage in his career where he can just basically do anything. Go watch.
Have a shit in 14 bathrooms.
Go watch the Story of Fire saga on Netflix where he plays Will Ferrell's disturbingly attractive father. That's an exact quote from the film, by the way. Will Ferrell refers to him as my disturbingly attractive father.
Okay, Will, you need to talk to a professional.
Do you think that he'd start in one bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Hold it in.
Plop.
I would.
Much like
tinkle, tinkle.
Much like the plot of this episode.
With Michelle Yeoh following behind him, just insulting him.
Yeah.
You'll call that a shit.
Kicking his fucking head in.
I've got to say, And I really find this surprising. I'm really warming to him. I think he's perfect for this role.
Yeah.
The thing is, I am curious to watch the rest of the series to find out if
we're
it's
going
all stilted
to.
And
I've
dry.
Spent money.
Yes. And no, we're not
Do
going
Do you feel he gets... I think he's at his strongest in this.
The whole series.
I don't know.
Well, who's watched it since broadcast?
No one. Literally not no one in the entire world.
The lovely woman in the Midwest called Karen with 2.5 children who's utterly opposed to any form of sexual congress outside the supermarket.
I did accidentally.
He's listening to this right now. And Karen, it's lovely to have you as a listener.
I did accidentally watch an episode in series two and it's no better.
I was going to say, though, I believe from... Friend of the podcast, Farrow, because this came up the last time we were having drinks. Said
it's like Sharo, but with a penis cunt.
He said he'd watched the whole thing, and Richard, your response to him was, why? Yeah. Why do you have so much
That's
time?
That's right. We're none of us, you know, we have finite periods left. But and he was enjoying it, and he said, "I just haven't got through it yet." I said, "Yeah, I haven't got through rabies, but I'm not going to be... bitten by Bronwyn Bishop." Oh, can we bust it on the podcast right now? If you're an Australian and you're listening, the reason for the shutdown and the lockdown on the Northern Beaches was because Bronwyn Bishop brought COVID back and the Murdoch press refuses to release it. And we have that on reliable gossip.
I think you're going to have to bleep that out. Because
I don't see why. It's just gossip.
Allegedly.
Anyway,
there you go. Problems
all
are.
Of our listeners are in the UK and it's they not, have no idea who we're talking about.
It's not like we've said that Peter Dutton is...
Don't.
A Sontaran.
Don't. I was just going to leave a silence for a joke, but never mind.
No, he is a Sontaran, isn't he?
Have you like noticed any potatoes. Colours... Speaking of potato hues, have we noticed any colours other than beige so
well,
far?
Well, Stephanie... is wearing a blue
it's
shirt.
It's a rather suggestive
She's
bottom.
Wearing aqua, but a lot of beige.
Can I suggest...
What's he doing to her face?
Can I just suggest...
What did you call me?
Can I just suggest that if Stephanie Zimblist was to appear on television these days with those teeth, she would be hauled out of the studio and shot dead immediately.
They're very white. What do you mean?
No, they're not.
Made to act on a British TV program.
Yes.
Really? She has a jaw that could... unclench suffering car accident victims.
I can imagine being a 14-year-old watching this in a parallel universe and finding myself sort of hugely obsessed by her. She's gorgeous.
She's more man than he is.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
So is my cat.
Look at those hands. Those are man hands.
It's Laura.
They're not lady hands like mine. Richard, we just had your favourite line in the whole thing.
Yes, you're a dick.
Oh, and I've bloody wiped over it. It's the greatest line in television history. He says to her,
"How did you become a dick?"
Yes. So I think that we should just should
rewind
we start again?
And start again. Yeah. the whole episode.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that. Now, this is the interesting thing where she plays Judi Dench in this scene. That you're a misogynist aging dinosaur.
No, she plays Hilda Winters. You assumed I was the secretary?
Yeah, that's very nice, isn't it? And there's a lot of what passes for sexual tension in 1982.
Yes.
I didn't expect male chauvinism from you, Miss Smith.
But he's so pretty and fey and he does lots of things with his hands.
Mm. Actually, I'm finding myself reminded of... by his performance of Billy Piper in the middle of The Idiot's Lantern.
Oh, the poor cat.
That was my cat yelling just then. Yeah, in what way?
Bitch, let me in.
Yes, actually, yes.
No discernible features of any
kind. No discernible. Well, I just thought the gurning and the disingenuousness. I'm getting no genuine emotions or drama from either of them, which is entirely suitable for the tone.
I imagine he's like a Ken doll below the waist.
Yeah. As in, yes, exactly, an eroded node. Yeah. Did you know that's what it's referred to?
Smooth.
That's what it was
As
referred to.
Bottom.
James, that's what it was referred to in the official 1950s Mattel literature.
Wow.
In-house literature, because the first Ken was made
anatomically
with
correct
ostensible genitalia. That's all I wanted to know. No, it really was. And Barbara, who was, you know, head, wife of the head of Matilda, I don't think so. Because she had gay friends. She knew what would go on. It was called The Eroded Node. And much like this episode of Bondfinger, I think we call this The Eroded Node. What do we think of Murphy?
He's pretty in a very, very 80s
He's
way.
He's the Peter Davison of American spy shit.
I'm sure I've seen him in a film with Chad Douglas.
Hello, darling. Who's Chad Douglas?
A film like by men. Oh, okay.
Star.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
From just the early 80s.
Ruin your joke again.
With a fabulous moustache.
This is probably one of the most poignantly loving moments in this entire episode.
Much like the one on the left.
I think this is about to lead into a spa scene. The way those boys are looking at Pierce.
James, you need to... What are we doing? Talk to me.
Hi,
brilliant.
Now they put on hats.
Says swallowing the microphone.
We're just trying to distract ourselves from this episode.
I will say,
hair, backlighting, and hair.
Yeah, we need Todd here to just say hair.
Hair.
Door.
Like literally in
everything.
I like
his car.
What light? Watching this.
Yes.
And not to disperse the listener of their delusions, but watching this on mute, as we do, there is nothing facially wrong with their acting. So it's just from when I watched it last night, it's just the way they're delivering their lines. It doesn't quite work.
Is it the direction? It's very slow.
It's very slow. But also watch.
But I mean, we watch 1980s TV, though.
So, no, Danger Man is like punch, punch, bang.
Yeah.
Are you saying, Brendan, that watching it without the sound is actually an improvement?
Yes, because you know, part of what I read about this series is it constantly references noir.
Well, this is Bogart and Bacall in the backseat of a
but
car.
But it's also screwball comedies.
That's what
it's trying to do, but it's not that funny.
Are they in a car, or are they just in a car set that's being watched sideways?
Yeah. And we've got to remember, not just the audience, but many of the actors were still around from that period of 40s and 50s film.
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall apparently thought this was charming. She liked the show.
It's noir.
And she liked
color.
Him. Sorry?
It's color noir. Like, it's noir, but with the color. It's like it's...
Yeah.
It's shot in the same way.
Oh, you're talking about the dropped tonalities.
Well, I mean,
I just think that
this,
the 80s was beige.
But there's a lot of black. You've got...
Beige.
You've got the lights going across them. It's, you know, like there is something.
He is prettier than her, and I'm finding that somewhat troubling.
I think she's gorgeous.
As a man, she's gorgeous, yeah.
See, watching her facially here... I'm getting Kathy Gale. I'm getting
Anna
Blackman. And especially when you consider Anna Blackman was told after her first episode of The Avengers by Sidney Newman, I didn't want to cast you, and if you ever smile so agreeably again in the role, you're out. And that influenced her. And she only smiles at Steed when she's laughing at him. And that was the kind of smile we were getting from Stephanie Zimbalist earlier. She's smirking at Pierce Brosnan rather than laughing with him.
I think part of the problem is that Brosnan is doing a really shit accent because he's trying to be an American person's idea of an English person.
I get the sense that everyone's on high wire. Everyone's quite nervous about this.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. But he did seem awkward. But you're right. It isn't immediately apparent just from looking at the holy shit, that tie.
Both of them.
If that woman stood against that wall, we'd never see her. Both of them.
Or there's some red there.
There's a red wall and a beige wall. Which one are you, girls?
So when we do fan castings of If the Doctor Had Been Women, here's Billy.
Hey. I love Miss Fox. Why didn't she get more work? She's adorable. God, I remember this fashion and this is my childhood.
Yeah, I had that shirt.
Also, Murphy's kind of working for me, and I'm really quite surprised by it, actually.
He has a chin you can sit on.
He's got chest hair. He's got chest hair.
But everyone's so slight.
Yes, that's true.
They're so Dauphin-like.
Look at those giant sleeves.
Has everyone noticed that the boys are smaller than the women? Okay, he might be taller, but he's
elfing. The hair, darling.
He's elfing.
No, his hair is quite large.
Everyone had big hair.
Rod had hair like that. I've got photos.
I had hair like that.
Yeah, I had hair.
Yeah, well, I had hair.
I had hair. Once.
She has quite small hair for the 80s.
I think
it was a very 40s, hence shows like this.
Yeah.
You know how each era also looks back and chooses its style notes. So, we're apparently.
The 80s is like the 30s and
we're
the 40s.
We're apparently in the 80s now. I didn't notice, but.
Economically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And just in case you missed him, he's in beige. Politically. Oh, I got a kiss. What do you think?
I'm getting a vibe of those people who menace the Doctor and Romana in the cafe in France.
Oh, God, yes. So it will end up in the spa.
I do like that guy's moustache, though.
Oh, my Lord.
And they're
She's
back.
Dressed as...
Joe Grant.
I was going to say Brendan. At a convention.
Oh, I forgot I was wearing it now.
Bellboy.
It's not it's pink Brendan with stripes. Bellboy. You're not What's dressed that? As... Bonnie Langford.
I'm right here. Miss Fox. I'm surprised Miss Fox lasted a season. But everyone is trying. If you watch 40s films, it's a very similar style. Mm. It's just that this direction is languid at best.
Yes, I think the direction
is a long shot, long languid takes.
Yeah.
Excuse me, dear listener. I'm just going to pat a pussy.
And we're back in the room.
That'd be a first.
Boom.
Yeah.
You're platinum plated, aren't you, Brendan?
What I think is so astonishing and so dated right now is the optimism of it all. Everyone just looked so relaxed. You watch anything made now, everyone's as tense as camps. It's a very different era where we just believed that economically, we didn't even know about climate change. We did, but we pretended we didn't. There's nothing that looks like this now.
Mm-hmm. No.
Bond films, actually.
No.
Even the optimism of Roger's period, because this is For Your Eyes Only era, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's between For Your Eyes Only and Optimism.
That's how old
I mean,
it is.
There's a lot of optimism in For Your Eyes Only, except for the moment where...
the parents and everyone
are all
die.
Massacred by a guy with a machine gun from a helicopter. Yeah.
And but a sarcastic parrot.
But does Fuck, the bird I love that die. Film. Com? No.
No.
It's actually a very good film.
But the dog does.
With a lot tighter direction. I hate that the hair matches the willows in that awful freaking painting.
I hate how when Pierce nods, his hair like nods a second after
it
he
does. It does.
It's an artifact on the film.
Oh, meanwhile,
his hair didn't move at all.
I'm going to tell my kids this was the God complex.
That's a Doctor Who reference if you happen to actually like Pierce Brosnan.
I think that's like the 17th of the episode.
I don't think there's anyone who's actually compelled me to believe that they're in this episode except for Stephanie Zimbalist. Everybody else in this is, and this is my problem with season two to everything of Ab Fab, it's the same paradigm. Everyone is acting as if they're in a spoof of a thing rather than being in the thing. And that's very boring for the viewer.
I don't think acting was invented, though, Stop until it. 1992.
Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall. I beg to differ. And you're saying that because Mr. Brosnan was 1995.
I can't fault Pierce's face here.
Pierce is very different.
Where's her hand?
Stop it. Although he is quite Muppet-like. Pierce is very different from Goldeneye.
I want a 2-second delay.
Yeah, like...
very different.
Yeah. Pierce is, you know, absolutely playing...
I've just had a moment. Yeah, go on.
...con man here.
Can you imagine if Pierce had played Bond like this? Or indeed like Roger, which is what this is.
A bit more sort of nervous and vulnerable.
I think just not giving a toss.
Well, didn't
this
he?
Is very Roger.
Didn't he?
He took it very seriously, didn't he?
I know.
Didn't he? Yeah, go on.
What do we think? I mean, we've obviously...
I'm liking him.
We've talked for hours about our feelings about him as Bond.
Oh, but well.
It was many years ago now.
Yeah.
He's shit.
I wasn't fond at the time, but I'm finding him absolutely perfect in this role.
Pierce Brosnan as Bond is like David Tennant as Doctor Who, in that you go away and a couple of months later you think, oh God, you know, he was shit and cliche. And then you go watch him again and go, fuck you. Why are you good? This is really annoying.
I think it's because it's mannered. I think that's the thing with David Tennant's Doctor Who and with Brosnan's Bond.
It's a different,
it's very mannered. So you go away going, ooh, there was something that just didn't quite sit right. But then you go back and go, actually, there's nothing quite wrong with this. It's a good production. And it's quite enjoyable, but the mannerisms and the stiltedness of the performance takes you out of the drama.
It's that thing that we talk about, him being sort of grown in a petri dish to play Bond.
Yeah.
Like he has the kind of look.
You know what? As I might say, there's no rough edges.
Right.
Like, you know, Tom Baker had rough edges in that sometimes it's like blowing a microphone out. He went a bit too loud, a bit too hot, or a bit too cold. And it's like, oh, that's something interesting. Whereas Pierce and David, oh, God, occasionally they might stretch the role that far, but generally
they play
in a safe, very broad area. Like, they've got a very broad range in the part, but they're very safe with it, I suppose.
If we're going to indulge in Dragonfire type talk, because who was the writer of that again?
Ian Briggs.
Yeah, Ian Briggs.
Return to Briggs' money.
Yeah. Oh, you got there first.
That's Nick Briggs' father.
Nick Briggs' lovely mother-in-law. But the Hermeneutic.
Why doesn't she have a different last name?
She does.
Doctor Who facts.
Beige. I want a bit of red. The hermeneutics of this organic plot works because everybody's responding in this. It's tonality is beige, but that's also quite a pleasant cafe au lait thing to have. I find this is all really working and I'm not actually bored, and I thought I would be.
I mean, I have to say that this thing, you know, like I knew what the premise was going in and I knew he would end up being Remington Steele.
Okay.
But in a sense, this moment where he's recognized as Remington Steele that we've just talked about something else over is cute. And also, I have to confess that towards the end, there was an additional twist beyond what I expected.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So I think there's a sort of, you know, there's an attempt to be plotty and sort of a bit interesting. But
Brendan's toying with my pussy. However, if you're watching this, how could you ever think he could be Bond?
Well, he needs a haircut.
Is it? What? But this is, there's not, okay, Roger in his lightest moments is slightly like this, but Roger is lampooning the grittiness of Bond. And we've also seen two films, which I don't really want to refer to, where Roger is playing Connery. Well, we've seen Roger be Bond. We've seen Roger slap about the mince and be a cad and be an ass as well. And so he only really reaches Rogerdom in Spy Who Loved Me. Pierce nails it from scene one in GoldenEye. Yes, Brendan.
Well, I was just going to say, this scene we're watching with the maid letting him into the room is very Bond. As he's walking up
it's
to the room,
it's Thunderball.
You can see on his face, oh, fuck, this guy thinks.
But without the blue bright nylon shorty pajama thing,
I thought we were going to his room. He thinks we're going to my room. Oh, my God, how am I going to get in? Oh, he's going to ask her. Okay, I'm going to let that happen.
What are the Khashoggis doing in this hotel? This honestly looks like...
Oh, so thin.
This is also a Hitchcock line. This is from North by Northwest when Cary Grant goes into Roger Thornhill's room. It's exactly the scene and discovers that Roger Thornhill doesn't exist. So this references all the great. It's a film lover's blancmange.
Yeah, I have to say that without the sound on, this is clever. You know, this is her.
It's Hitchcock.
Well, this is him discovering, you know, and it's all visual, like all of the shirts are the same.
Heaps
it's of
them the same on. Scene for scene.
Yeah. He's fake. All of the clothes, all of the, like the shoe, he will later explain that none of the shoes have ever been worn.
Which is a Cary Grant line.
But we could see that just by looking. Like it's cleverer than
But then
I
there's
thought.
His hair and that's never been worn either.
Yeah.
Even in this scene.
Yeah. It's never moved.
And also, the thing that struck me about this scene as suspicious as well is, why does Mr. Steele have all these clothes in a hotel for a one-night stay? It's a subtext, but Laura is trying too hard in a way.
Can I say that
has
Brosnan,
no penis.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, that's taken as read. But looking at himself in the mirror, he's actually more attractive, sort of flipped.
Hello, darling. Hello.
His reflection.
I know where you're going.
He's prettier than him, I think.
His mirror me is the more attractive of the two.
Yeah, I think so.
He's too pretty.
Well, but he gets to age into the Bond role then. Do you know what I mean? He's a bit older as Bond.
I'm actually starting to think maybe he's not that bad as Bond.
Well,
let's rewatch them.
Is it the films week that are bad?
Yeah, actually. And they'd forgotten what a story was by then.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
GoldenEye, I thought, was great.
GoldenEye's good.
Really enjoyed it.
Tomorrow Never Dies is all right.
World Is Not Enough is fantastic.
Well, it's got great cast in both films.
And World Enough and Time. No.
Die Another Day?
No.
Now we've referenced it, I think Jonathan Pryce is a great actor who completely misses the mark in that film.
Yes,
That's a great Bond villain tradition. Like,
he's just charming and I like him. There's no threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elliot Carter is just, actually, aren't you the nom de guerre of one of those 40s film noir hero books? He's really the shadow, isn't he? Elliot Carter. It actually does sound like a brand of aftershave, doesn't it?
I think we're back to,
Laura.
He's too likable to be playing.
He's just, he plays it with great charm.
But I think that's a good choice for a Bond, you know, because the Bond villains were always such scarred weirdos. Like, having someone who's super genial is
I would
not
have
a
preferred Judy Dench to be playing the Jonathan Pryce part.
Well, in literally every film or role he's been in.
How many female protagonists have we had as the villains?
Well,
apart
in fact,
from On a Top.
That's the interesting thing. The interesting thing about the world
enough
and time is that the Bond girl ends up being the villain, and the villain ends up being the
Bond girl.
Mr. Oddjob. No, he's Mr. Oddjob, isn't he? Like, Renard, he can't be
up
hurt.
For it.
He's like Oddjob. He can just be sort of punched in the face and he'll be fine, you know, like, and that's clever.
And he
that's
just wants it. It's such a, I'll be your everything and I won't feel it.
That car.
But then
like,
it's Pierce, and it's just eroded nodes rubbing against him.
That car looked like if Lotus had made the Batmobile.
No, it's the Homermobile.
Yes,
it is. Oh my god, it's the Homermobile.
Yes, but it's rotating, and no one buys it.
Is Pierce Brosnan what heterosexual women find attractive?
No, that's Fabio, I've heard.
Well, it is the 80s.
As played by Sean McCall.
But I'm kind of serious with this. It's the early Elvis complex of the reason he was so popular is that there's a lot of feminine in the masculine, and younger women find that safer.
Mm. Oh, but I mean, that's attractive. I find that attractive. Well, that's not unattractive.
I think it's also, and Family Guy references this at one point, it's Britishness.
Yeah.
Britishness is considered exotic by an American audience.
No, all Englishmen are gay.
Oh, I wish.
There's a line in an early Family Guy. There's this very English chap called Nigel who's chatting to all the ladies, but he's also an insurance fraudster. And Peter, of all people, raises a suspicion about him, and Lois says, "Oh, Peter, Nigel's charming. All British men are."
I do think that's it. And this is...
Except when they're playing villains in Die Hard films.
Or Star Wars films. But
I don't
Or Robin
play
Hood,
villains.
Prince of Thieves.
I play very interesting people. The late Alan Rickman.
I'd love to have seen him in a Bond.
And also, the guy with the flick knife is called Neff. Sorry,
I believed this. I believe that this was the backstory.
Yeah,
this was a bit that fooled me, where
well
it was
acted.
Like they killed my younger brother or whatever. And I thought, okay. There's two twists. It's the Hayes code. No yep. more than two twists in a sort of shitty episode of 80s TV. And there's another twist. Who would have known?
Why are these two not working? I'm talking about Fox.
Why are they not snogging?
Fox and Mulder or whatever they're called. Why are they not working?
They're dead.
They're not giving.
No, they're addicted to Oxy.
Oxycodone, cunt.
I'm only saying that because I'm currently on Oxy for the shingles.
It doesn't show
that I'm having
projecting,
and that's just for the effect of watching.
I don't oxycodone that
for everyone who walks into the room.
I think Richard, it's because Murphy and Miss Fox don't get a Jack and Karen moment. Because if you look at Will and Grace,
they should be more fun, shouldn't they?
If you look at Will and Grace, early Will and Grace, Jack and Karen were only ever meant to be supporting. They weren't even meant to meet originally.
And then they realize that they were the two people in who were actually funny.
Yeah. Who were actually decent actors.
Funny when you consider that. The origin of Will and Grace is that Will and Grace were going to be side characters in another sitcom. But when they were promoted to their own sitcom, they needed their own side characters who almost take over the show.
I don't think it's lack of talent, because I can see the intelligence in this young man's face, whoever is playing Murphy, that I can see the potential. Yeah, you can just read it in people's eyes. Well, and I suspect Miss Fox is, another stiff in the closet.
You've got to worry.
It's a leisure hive.
Oh, well, see, this is why we're not employing her as our dick. She runs away at the first sign of a dead body.
Back to Will and Grace. You've got to worry about the judgment of people who don't hire John Barrowman because he was too straight acting.
I want to bet.
That's what they said.
I know.
Oh, you're too straight for the role, darling. It's not that you're super terrible.
Murphy is played by James Reed.
Yeah, that's
who was George Hazard in North and South.
Yeah, he was good.
And he does later appear on Charmed. So he did have a career after this.
Well, Charmed.
Original Charmed or New Charmed?
Original Charmed. And Days of Our Lives.
I went to school with someone who was on Charmed.
Julian McMahon?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not. I was setting up for something else.
No.
You actually went to school with Julian McMahon.
Rewind. What was he like?
I only really found out he had been in my year.
He was so quiet, wasn't he?
No, it's just that
you were drunk.
The classes were very, very graded. He wasn't in any of my classes.
He is Bill Snedden's son, and that's come out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Descended from Prime Minister McMahon?
Yeah, but McMahon was gay, and some of my friends actually were his clients on the wall, being Darlinghurst back in the day.
We always assumed it
he was actually
something.
Quite charming and a bit useless, but paid really well, tipped really well. So there's a bit of news for you girls at home.
I thought it was always
Billy McMahon, who was Australian Prime Minister early 1970s. We should also reference Julian McMahon, his son, who was an actor in Shit.
Charmed.
So, yes.
Nip Tuck.
TV.
Fantastic Four.
I always assumed it was Sonia, Lady Sonia, and Kingston Town, actually.
That was a horse, darling, that ran in the...
Yeah.
That was his point.
We got very Catherine the Great here. I've got friends who knew her as well. She was quite fun in her day.
You say he was thoroughbred.
Mm. Thoroughly.
Yeah, or the new town.
Also, we're getting the notes of red with beige because I always pick up the
colour tones. Big-ass red frock.
It's a curtain with a belt.
Man,
is it a belt or
it's
is
a-
it...
Whalebone corset.
It actually looks like something that would descend in Tetris or Space Invaders. It looks like something that would come and land on your... What?
Your face.
So why... Why? Yeah, no, I've got to come back to it again.
Oh, my God. Is that him being a alien in a Star Trek?
It really is.
James Reed does turn up in a latter two-parter of Star Trek Voyager as Jaffin in Workforce.
Oh, that's the one that's about the American healthcare system.
No, that's
capitalism.
Critical care. It's about capitalism, and he has a romantic relationship with Janeway. And she did well.
He's got a great
critical
James
care
Dean Irish. Sort of. Actually, most of the men in this are Irish. Why is Pierce working? question to the gentleman.
Whatever.
Why is Pierce working more so in the light comedic touch, just working more in this episode than everyone else? And I'm including Stephanie Zimbalist. He's actually the only one that feels as if he's in control of the script.
Well, because you can't hear his accent.
But look at him. He's so light. And the others seem to be trying to find out what to do with their faces. But he's not doing anything, and it's actually working in the Roger Moore style of working in his favor. He looks like a young Roger here too.
I think
he does.
I think it's because if this pilot fails, he's the only one who has to leave the country. And that's
it.
That
it's either that or marry Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah.
Horsey, huffly, piggy, piggledy, trottery, old,
snuffling hog of a man.
Gerard Depardieu doesn't mind if he has to leave the country. He gets to get drunk on a plane and expose himself. He's happy.
Speaking of which, has everybody seen Bertolucci's 1900 when he and De Niro are naked in bed together and having a thing? It's really worth getting
it. Oh, really?
Oh.
Okay.
That's all I need to say.
I was reminded this week that
they're both gorgeous.
One of my early teenage crushes was Dan Futterman, who plays the son in The Birdcage, the American remake of La Cage aux Folles. Yes. But I first saw him in a film called Shooting Fish with Stuart Townsend, where they're two young con men and their whole dream is to live in a stately home.
If you're listening on the train, trust us, nothing is happening.
Although he's Brendan again in cosplay.
There's Brendan in costume, and there's the two boys. The spa is cold. Where have you been?
Would you like to come down to the sauna?
It really does look. Oh, he just goosed him. It really is every freaking intro of the worst pornos
it's
of
the Muppet
child.
Show again.
Also, the one on the right is really up for it.
He's kind of giving a wet pussy stare.
Wap stare. Wap.
Your wap, sure.
Your wap, which I believe is my wireless protocol.
Yeah. Wireless
access protocol. That's right.
It is the leisure.
Oh,
hive.
It's another one.
Oh, my God, it is.
No,
did anyone say for Marcy?
You're going to stand trial.
That's Matthew Waterhouse's career right there.
I'm so glad my second joke worked.
Oh, God.
Oh, look, it's a heterosexual. No, not there. We've just got a detective who walked in who actually looks like someone who likes women.
Oh,
more than like just Douglas to put do their hair and makeup.
Really? I thought he was a member of the Village People.
That's the little guy who just walked. Mind you, have you noticed how the casting is all quite short? Because Pierce is not very big.
I wanted to make it clear that there was a black person in this episode in the background.
I haven't even noticed
there.
Yet.
One of the cops. But also behind Mr. Hunter when he was making his speech.
Yeah.
Well, it's 1980, so.
A lot of white people. 81. They hadn't invented black people by then.
We just forgot.
It might as well have been Tomb of the Cybermen.
They had their own shows back then.
This was so different and so fresh and so new because we had only had the 70s a year or so before, which was Blaxploitation, Barney Miller, Shaft, Boat, Charlie's Angels, all the stuff which was. This is completely new because it's going back another 30 years. The 70s was progressive and modernist. This is postmodern.
Yeah.
And postmodern meant nothing is original. It is all referential to something else and intertextualizing within itself. So it ends up, I'm right about Ian Briggs, it ends up being the script to Dragonfire. If you're not a Doctor Who listener and viewer, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast part. I'd like to say something more about Pierce and Stephanie for the listener who may actually be a Remington Steele fan, and we'd like to give them something that they probably haven't thought of before other than us saying it's a bit beige. I'd like to think, what do you all feel about the freshness of Pierce's? Because this is his first big thing, isn't it? He was a model before this and a postage stamp. As you can tell by the wetness of the back of his head.
I feel I feel they're both holding back.
Yeah, very much.
I don't feel like they're bad actors, but I do wonder if they're being hamstrung a bit by the direction. And watching it without the sound actually helps because I can see their faces doing stuff. And even though James Reed, for instance, there's nothing wrong with him. I feel like Pierce and Stephanie are doing more, but it's just not quite coming across on the screen, and that could be a fault of the direction.
Is it a choice to have her in man's clothes?
No, it's like, the '80s. No, everyone looked like that.
Yeah.
I think the holding back thing is attempting cool style because again, it's that moonlighting thing, which was very deliberately Catherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
Yeah. And
this is doing a kind of Bogart Bacall thing, which was a little more hot heated, but also, and this is my issue with this, there's no sexual chemistry between the leads in real life. And it comes across very clearly. There's just not. But he was married to Cassandra Harris and she appears in several episodes as a femme fatale. And she, of course, was a Bond girl in Fioros Only. And she shot on the beach. Do you remember?
Yes, running along
the beach. Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah, but that's his wife at the time. She very tragically died of cancer very young. Mm. So, and Pierce.
That's horrible. I've forgotten how horrible it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great, it's actually a really effective scene.
Yeah.
And here they are doing Kylie Minogue in a Doctor Who episode.
but that was Stephanie actually jumping on
that. Yeah, she really was.
And this is referenced in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, she's the Michelle Yeoh all the time. Ow, that really hurt.
Referencing or prefacing?
Prefacing.
Preferencing.
This is referenced in, I should say. Mm. Yes. You're right. This is earlier. I wonder if that was ever used as an episode title.
I think we need to remind each other just what a big hit this was. Mm. It was really good ratings. It was over 10 million each week. It was really good in the US, you know.
But I get the feeling that moonlighting, huge. Yeah. And had kind of more critical acclaim.
It also had sexual tension.
Yeah.
And I dare I say better leads.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Because not whatever I think of Die Harder,
Brucey.
He's a real little prick in it.
Yeah.
And he's got the whole Connery kind
funny
of
funny and
he's a piece of toss. He's nasty ass work.
Yeah.
And it's but hot.
It is a Christmas film.
It's hot. It is a Christmas film.
This is like a Hallmark version of Moonlighting.
This is charming and dainty. Card. Yeah, you're right. This is the Hallmark card. Yeah. This is for nice ladies.
Yeah.
Which is why we're watching it.
Yes. Well, there's.
But again.
Oh, look at her.
Laugh? No.
And there's our Michael Gleeson freeze flame. How do you say that?
Freeze frame.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Wasn't Michael Gleeson Battlestar Galactic? No, that's Jen Glenn Larson.
I'm sure that
Michael Gleeson
really
had a big career. I looked him
Mrs.
up.
Mrs. Whitehouse.
Big career. Sorry, darling, what's that?
It's a freeze frame.
What?
It would have really upset Mary Whitehouse.
Oh.
Do we have to bite you?
So Michael Gleeson, I think he collected the bins in my place.
Stop it. He did a lot of big shows, what I looked up, and I can read to you if you're interested. I remember all of this.
Oh, delightfully short end titles.
Mary Tyler Moore. There was Mary Tyler Moore herself in the little thing.
This cost the production.
I finally get that joke, actually.
It's Meowry Tyler Moore.
Oh dear. How about that? After this is episode 49 and I finally got the Mary Tyler Moore joke.
Hey.
All right, so people, I think we just go straight on with
we're doing all 30 episodes right now. Oh, Jesus, we actually are. It's going straight into it.
Stop it.
Started with a marker hat. This is for next week.
Dear listener, we have automatically gone on to episode two, and automatically the film stock looks better.
Oh, I think that's
interesting,
contrast
too.
Contrast is higher.
I'm not sure about the marker hats.
Yeah. It's definitely. Well, that was definitely a pile.
It's Danger Diabolic.
Yes.
I think we watched this the other month.
No, you did because you thought. Oh, okay. You thought this was the episode we were doing.
No, the episode is we did watch with Tom Baker turns up and it's very sad.
No. with the scaling of buildings to
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, that's Danger Man.
Yeah, that was so great. Let's do Danger Man again. It's fucking great.
Hello. Back to that.
Hello. There was a bit of chest there.
A bit of chest there.
You can see her panties.
Oh, look. Stephanie Zimbalist is so gorgeous.
But we're not actually
make eyebrows
that
right again.
So. I think it's, I have to say, I am tempted to watch the rest of the series based on that just because I can see the potential in it.
Yeah.
Even though, like, when I was coming up the stairs to Richard's place at the beginning of this, it's like, how did you find out? Like, it's so emotionless.
Yeah.
And yet,
you will be like
I think it could grow. I think it could grow. Sadman. And just a bit of trivia for you all out there. One of the show's creators, Robert Butler, directed Star Trek The Cage. Which, you know what, is also a bit emotionless.
Yeah, well, that
really
guy,
like that one.
Robert April or whatever.
I like
he's
it too.
He's so shit. Sorry.
But New Pike's great.
Oh, he's hot as
New
fuck.
New Pike is great.
Yeah, no. Well, I think we're done. Do we have any extravagant future plans?
Yeah, next week we're doing Bond Girl on Bond Girl. Next month, Bond Girl on Bond Girl action. Carolyn Monroe and Joanna Lumley get it on.
In what?
In the new Avengers, Angels of Death.
Yeah.
Do you know, do I have to trade in my thing? If
no,
I
I've got
say,
subtitles and shit.
I can't remember who Carolyn Monroe is.
She is Naomi. What a handsome craft,
to be
darling.
She was going to be the Doctor Who girl in the unmade Doctor Who film, Last of the Time Lords.
Oh.
Yeah, she was going to be Cora.
And she's in every Hammer horror.
Okay.
Probably.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you know who Cora was in this Last of the Time Lords film? She was the new core of the Key to Time. Well done, Johnny Byrne.
Wow. He can.
Actually, kind of like that.
He's a clever man.
But hang on. Isn't that Lala Ward in
Key to Time? Yeah. We've done that before.
Yeah. We kind of have seen that, haven't we? Yeah. And it didn't really work all that well.
No. All right. Well, if you want to watch any more Remington Steele, Richard's bought season one on iTunes.
Give him a call. He'll share his iTunes password with you.
It's in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's in the show notes.
What did we all think of this, boys?
Yeah, no, it's shit.
Better on second viewing, James.
It was, well, on first viewing, I was pleasantly diverted by talking to you whilst not watching the television.
Would you watch this and think he'd make a good Bond?
Maybe.
I wouldn't.
Well, I wonder whether he would have been better if we hadn't had an intervening Timothy Dalton. And
why?
So if he had been able to be Roger Lee Camp.
He's very Roger.
Yeah. Where he has to be a little bit more serious because, you know, we've had a gritty reboot with Dalton being kind of, you know, a bit more of a sort of serious action hero.
But do you think that would have killed the franchise?
Well, nothing can kill the franchise. For Christ's sake, it's shit. Who knows why it's still going.
It survived Spectre.
Yeah, well, barely.
Says a podcaster who's now recorded 49 episodes of a James Bond commentary podcast.
I mean, like, look, I think, you know, the Bond films are fun, but they're not great.
But they're not great works of film.
No. And, you know, the fun thing about them is that they're solidly entertaining action films.
Yeah, they're entertaining, a bit camp, bit fun, a bit sexy.
Misogynistic.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Racist, exploitative.
But not as racist as the books.
No.
This is true, actually. Oh, dear, indeed, Prince Philip.
Bless him.
Timing.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, with, you know, could you imagine Dalton as Bond? Possibly.
Dalton, very Dalton. Much so.
Timothy Dalton just lives in here. That's tapping the side of my head.
He's touching his genitals,
free.
But in a nice way.
especially as Rassilon, all that spitting.
Oh. They didn't even change his hair.
Sorry, where was I?
Do you want a tissue?
I was just going to say, I wouldn't have watched Love is the Devil and Lara Croft Tomb Raider and gone, yeah, that's James Bond there, Daniel Craig.
Yeah. But this is Bond. This is a Bond role.
Yeah.
Not layer cake. This is
No, because he's being a spy, playing the part. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
The thing is, at this stage, he's Lupin the Third. He's not James Bond yet because he's a thief in this episode. And when...
So was the Saint in the original
setup. Yeah.
And the thing is, in that scene where he's talking to Laura in the hotel room, and I didn't mention this at the time, but in that scene... I was getting Lupin the Third vibes because the whole thing with Lupin the Third, the Japanese anime version.
We should mention for the listener.
Yeah, sorry, I should explain. Yeah. So a French novelist had this character called Lupin the Third, who was the grandson of a master thief and becomes a master thief himself. Japanese manga artist Monkey Punch decided to make his own manga and anime version, which is a lot more famous because Japan's copyright laws are basically you can copy something from another country and you can't get sued.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Lupin is there. Each story has two women in it. One is a recurring woman who is a master thief herself, and the other is a woman who is involved in the plot because she is an expert on whatever he wants to steal. And there is always a very chaste sexual attraction between them, and the story ends with her sort of saying, "So how about it?" And him saying, "No, I'm a thief and you're a very nice woman and I won't ruin your life. Now off you go."
Wow.
And that's the kind of impression I'm getting between him and Laura on the dance floor and in the hotel room. He's trying to push her away because he knows he's an asshole.
You're
a very beautiful woman, probably.
Can you imagine if the Bond films had ended with a scene in a boat where Bond did that?
I'm going to have sex with you in this boat because I don't want to ruin your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I am a petri dish. I am a
You need to wear a full body condom to have sex with me.
I am a three-ring performing elephant.
Stop slut shaming Richard.
A woman I follow on Twitter, and I'm afraid I can't remember who it is now, but she recently rewatched the first Austin Powers film and she's like, wow, this film actually really gets consent. Because there's a scene in there where Liz Hurley is saying to Austin, "Oh, come on, let's do it." And he says, "No, darling, you're drunk, it's not right." And puts her to bed and leaves the room.
That's right.
And so, yeah.
See how easy it is.
Yeah. Noel Clark.
Oh, this isn't a okay podcast.
Here we go.
No, we're not talking about he's cancelled.
I am now going to do the outro.
20 no minutes one's listening. After
don't bother.
TV show's finished.
So,
even Colin's bath salts have gone.
Yeah.
Hi, Colin.
Yeah. No, people listened to this last week for some
reason.
Well,
they download it, listen for 30 seconds. Yeah, what the hell is this?
We still get the figures. Who gives a fuck? All right.
Yeah,
if only we had a Patreon.
Yeah. So until next time, remember that it's 1982 and the South African government can stick its gems up its ass, Piers Brosnan. Thank you very much for listening. That's and good right. night.
We're not playing cricket with you.
I wasn't born in 1982. Good night.
I was 30. No, that's
you
weren't. No, that's a
what are you?
Lie.
900 yeah, years yeah, old? Yeah.
No, I was 12.
I was one and a half.
Up. Say goodnight, James.
Good night.
No, wait, where's Richard?
Yeah, we're still here.
He's already left the
Sorry,
room.
Sorry, I derailed it. Good night.
Good night.
Good, whatever it is you're going to do with yourselves after off. That. James.
Oh, James. Oh,
James. I'm going to watch the whole rest of this crap.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the whole season. I mean,
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the listener.
He was talking to Bernard Cribbins.
And as he said that, the cat bit me. So we're all on the same page.